What's up, you beauties? Welcome to Heimwide Radio, episode 28, season 6. I'm your host, Jim Whitebone, joined as always by Jack Smith. Sort of an after dark episode for us. We're recording a little bit later in the week at a little bit of a later time, so all of our friends and listeners and viewers, thanks for bearing with us, and hopefully you're able to make the show tonight. If you are watching live, please make sure you're listening and or watching on YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed, and please set an alert for future shows. Give us a like or a five-star if you're listening as a podcast. Please make sure you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and you'll get notifications for future shows the minute we upload them. And Jack, the Flyers once again make it easy for us. They provide the content for us, you know?
We're
going to get to the hockey stuff because, you know, the Flyers continue their kind of downward slide here after the gauntlet. They're just not able to rattle off any wins. So we'll get into that, you know, two disappointing losses. But there's somehow still exciting stuff to talk about, even though they're kind of, you know, in this skid. You know, one being the Russians are here, at least two of them. And Ivan Fedotov is how you say his last name. Apparently, it's going to bother me because I don't like how it's pronounced. But Fedotov is how it's pronounced. Alexei Kolosov is over. He's been assigned to Lehigh. Well, we'll touch on both of those guys in a second. And, you know, I don't want to say there's a goalie controversy already. But I do want to talk about the goalies, as I'm sure you do too, Jack. So there's a lot to talk about there. Players coming back from injury. Players going, you know, once again returning out due to injury. Of course, the title of our episode, the Tortorella effect. And, is it a real thing? I think so. I see on our topics here, you have the TDS, Torch Derangement Syndrome. And we'll talk about that as well. So, Jack, let's kick off the show. Let's kind of, let's mix in the losing in with, you know, the potential, you know, can Ivan Fedotov save the season? You know, let's mix it in a little bit. So I think last week we left off, you know, Flyers need to get 4 points out of these next two games. And the next two games, I think, were Montreal, Chicago. Flyers come out with none, Jack. How do you explain that? I mean, obviously the first game, they looked better than they did against Chicago. Chicago was an embarrassment. I'm sorry, they actually lost 3. The OT game, the Islanders, I forgot. So, I mean, kind of get us up to speed a little bit here, Jack.
I think you had 3 games where you really needed like 4 or 5 points out of. And based on coming out of the gauntlet and how they did not like completely falter, even though we have admitted that they're exhausted, they're beaten up, they're tired, they didn't fall to pieces. And then they come out against these, you know, which should be game ready to go for them. They got, at the time they had, was there 6 games left now? So 9 games left going into the Montreal game with everybody on your tail, you know, the Capitals, Detroit, the Islanders, who they're going to play or who, and you know, at the time they were going to play, and now Pittsburgh, everybody's gearing up and this team has just completely faltered. They got down early against Montreal. They can't figure it out. They lose that game. They got down early against Chicago. They did not look good at all. Somehow they lose that game. Then against the Islanders, they have what Torts would say one of the worst second periods of the season, in which he alluded to guys not being ready for the moment. Somehow they get that game to overtime, get a crucial point, but give it up in overtime. And you can't blame it on the lineup this time because you had Drysdale and Frost out there. They were responsible for getting us to overtime, but ultimately gave the game away in overtime. Not to mention what I thought was a ballsy, crazy call that just so happened to work out. I guess if it works out, you're okay. But pulling Ersson after the second goal. Were both those goals in the first period, or was it the early second? I can't remember.
Yeah, they scored 2 goals within a span of 18 seconds, and Fedotov came out for the second.
Okay, there you go. So, yeah, I know the Flyers had a 1-0 lead, and then the first goal was the legitimate goal. It was a bad bounce, you know, deflection rather. You know, it is what it is. But the second one was like, Jesus Christ, you know, and I can tell Torts made that move. And if you have a normal backup goalie, it's not that crazy, you know, because you're like, this game's going to snowball if we don't do something now. But in goes Fedotov, who is fresh off the plane from Russia, to his credit, played pretty damn well. And I heard, I think it was Charlie, I'm not sure who said it, but if you notice on the Barzell breakaway, he doesn't glove that puck, probably because the glove wasn't broken in yet. That's how fresh he was to playing in the NHL. Gave up a goal, one goal in regulation, made it to overtime, got hung out to dry. I thought he looked fine, more than fine, considering the circumstances, great. You know, and I'm hoping, I'm hoping we see him on Friday, give Ersan as much rest as he needs, you know, and he had a back-to-back coming up, play him the next game. But end of the day, you had three very important games. You should have won two of them. And then you play in the Islanders where they're chasing you in the standings, have a good chance, a great chance to get some distance. And you saw Patrick Waugh's face when they tied that game with 9 seconds left. He knew it. He's like, two points to no points would have been huge for them. So to give them a point and then have to go chase the other point was a big, oh my God. And he definitely didn't say that. He said a very bad word, but I get it. But ultimately the Flyers falter. I mean, out of a possible 6 points, you get one in this crazy close race. And now we're scoreboard watching like crazy. I mean, now they got games coming up against Washington. I think they got one more against the Rangers. Do they play Detroit? I can't remember.
No, I don't think they, they played Detroit three times this year. I think, I don't think they play them again.
Okay. I don't have the full schedule in front of me. But I am curious. Yeah. I know they have Washington left. I definitely know that is a game.
Mm-hmm. All right. So they have one more back-to-back, and that's coming up this Friday and Saturday, which sounds crazy to say, but this game against Buffalo is the game of the season. So they have Buffalo on Friday and Columbus on Saturday. They need to get at least 3 points out of those two games, if not all four. Buffalo has been playing kind of well lately. But then the next week, three games, they get 2 days off after the back-to-back. They have Montreal Tuesday, back in Montreal. And then they come back to the East Coast and play New York in New York, the Rangers, on Thursday. Then you have the Devils on Saturday, and they close out with the Capitals 2 days later on Tuesday. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That could be a playoff game right there, quite literally. I mean, you got some games here. I know Sabres and Blue Jackets are back-to-back. I'm sorry. They got to at least come away with 3 points. 3 out of 4 points in those two games. They got to beat the friggin' Canadians. They got to show up against the Rangers. All these games look to be away. I got away, away, away. Finally, they come home the last two games of the season against the Devils and Capitals. Both, you know, Devils may not be easy, but they can beat them. They should be able, as long as they're healthy, they're getting healthier. They got to beat them. They definitely have to beat the Capitals. I mean, you know, I mean, I wouldn't even say with the games in hand they don't have. Capitals having two, Detroit having one. I'm not sure what the Islanders have. And the Pitt at this point, you know, starting to win as they, I believe they just beat Washington. Oh, you have it right there. There you go. Islanders beat the Blue Jackets. We got to take care of business against teams like that. There's just no excuse. You have to.
Here's something crazy for you, Jack. So of the six remaining games, and that's crazy, there's only six. The Flyers have four Metropolitan games. They have not won a division game in, I think, 2 months. They're 0-5-4 in their last, I'm pretty sure it's 0-5-4 is what I saw, in their last nine division games. So that's going to have to change, and it's going to have to change quick, you know, because if they continue that trend, they're missing the playoffs. It's flat out that simple. Even if they would have won half of those games, you know, and went 4-4-2 or something like that, they're in the playoffs comfortably. You know, that's not even talking about the power play, but they let themselves down losing these division games. You know, they could have put some space in between them and the Capitals, the Islanders, the Penguins. All these teams beat the Flyers in the last 2 months. You know,
they have not won a division game in 2024. Like,
there you go, man.
That should tell you something.
That's
they may have gotten a point or two, but like, that's a yes, that and their penalty kill, which they have relied upon, has not been the same. It's really starting to show its cracks. It's tough. I do believe the team does not have the talent that some of these other teams have to overcome just flat out playing hard. They are a chunk of the team is young, they make mistakes. It's later in the season, they're starting to crack a little bit. And I think Torts is doing everything in his power to, And I don't, we'll see if flat out calling them out like he has, calling them soft and whatnot, doesn't typically work in this situation, because if you're already tired, you're already exhausted, you've already gotten to this point, you know, last thing you want to be called is soft. However, there is some truth to that. Certain players anyway. It's not like he made it up. Go ahead.
Let's get into that a little bit, because I think there's some debate, right? Without hearing, and this is after the Islander game. So first, let me just tell you, like, I happened to be in the press box for this game. Let me tell you what I saw. First 6-7 minutes, the Flyers were fine. They looked better in the first 6-7 minutes than they had in the previous two games, right? They were up 1-0. They were beating Islanders to pucks. They were out skating them. They were, beating them along the boards, whatnot. After the Islanders scored, I think they either had a power play or they scored first. I don't recall what happened, but the Islanders went up 2-1 quick. And not that the Flyers went into the old Flyers. It was just the Islanders looked more fresh. And the Islanders started winning the puck battles. They started winning the puck races, things like that. And so that carried into the second period. And, you know, Torts, I think, directly after the game, made a point to say the second period. But I think if you listen to what he said yesterday, he watched the game and there was more than just the second period. I'm assuming he's talking about more than half of the first as well. You know, the Flyers kind of they shrunk down a little bit after they went down 2-1. But yeah, so that second period, and we were talking about it at the game. It was disastrous. I'm not sure how it looked on TV. I think the Flyers had 2 shots and they were outshot by at least 15, if not 20 shots. You know, they ended up getting it together. They tied the game, yada, yada. But going back to Torts' comments, I think, and national media for sure, right? Because we were talking about this the other day. Anytime Torts' name comes up, and it's why I put his name in the title for the episode. Anytime his name comes up, it's like Donald Trump, right? Love him or hate him, people are going to watch your channel because you got him on, right? Fox is going to put him on because, you know, people love him. CNN's going to put him on because, you know, people hate him so much they're going to watch anyways. It's the same thing with Tortorella, right? It's the same. If you love him, you're going to talk about him. If you hate him, you know, if someone's spouting off, talking a bunch of crap, whatever, people are going to listen to that. You know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of these, like TSN, for example, Toronto Sports Network, whatever they're called, took what he said and took it out of context, which people love to do with people like Tortorella. What I heard when I went back and listened was him say the way that they played in that second period was soft. Maybe he said it in a different way, but it was true. I don't think he said anything that wasn't true. The only part that maybe sounded personal to me was, you know, he's getting a look on who gets it, who needs to play a certain way at this time of year and who doesn't, and who doesn't get it. And if they can't turn it on in these next 6 games, I mean, that tells you all you need to know, right? Like, the playoffs are on the line. If you can't turn it on now, then maybe you shouldn't be here, maybe. You know, we can speculate all we want on which players those guys might be. For me, it's which guys do you not notice throughout the course of a 60-minute hockey game? You know what I mean? You know, we can speculate on players if you want, but I don't think I disagreed with anything that he said, and I didn't think that he was calling them soft per se. I thought that period was soft is what he said, right?
I definitely took it as that period. Anybody taking it anywhere else has an agenda. That's exactly what he was talking about. Torts has been pretty clear in pretty much everything he says and always has been. He doesn't play games. He's as most straightforward as you could be. So if you're taking it as he called the whole team soft for like the season or something, or at least the last month or so, I think that's bullshit. They were not soft when they survived the gauntlet. They did the best they could. We all admitted that. Even Torts, when he talks after a practice, he's a lot more down to earth. He's not emotional. He's not pissed off. You can actually, those were better interviews. You saw him take some more accountability, which people are freaking out about. You know, the coach has to be accountable because he wants accountability. I could give a rat's ass. As long as that friggin' team plays and wins the way they're supposed to. And you want to tell me they've been in a rut lately? Well, yeah, I think there's multiple factors to that. I think the team is one, had no business being here at all. And to Torres' credit, he's like, yeah, that was the narrative, but here we are. We're here. You deserve to be here. You need to reach down and grab that little extra to get you to the finish line. And that's exactly what I'm trying to get out of these guys. How the fuck is that a problem? I don't understand why people are upset about that. It's people that hate Torres. Or, like you said, they hear the word and it's like Howard Stern, you know, like, oh, I left him on because I couldn't wait to hear what he said next. Well, what did everybody say that hated him? They couldn't wait to hear what he said next. It's still the same viewership. It still gets views. That's all it is. But then if you like come out and somewhat defend or understand where he's coming from, well, you just love the guy. He can do no wrong. I'll tell you what he's done wrong all season. There's plenty that he's done wrong. But at the end of the day, he's the coach of this team, a team that was horrific last year, was predicted to be horrific this year. And he's got them firmly in a playoff spot all season. And only towards the end are they faltering. And that, for me, is factors outside of his coaching. That is more so injuries, young guys who haven't played these full 82-game seasons. You got a freaking guy from Russia who just came over and got thrown into a game. Because what were your other options? Sandstrom? Peterson? That's a joke. Urson, the poor kid, he's been playing out of his ass for how long now? Like, this is crazy. It's almost Brian Elliott usage under Hackstall, and it's out of necessity. It is what it is. So it's a stupid, silly narrative from people who either previously hated Torts or heard enough about him and don't like loudmouths and don't like people who say mean things and are just going to shit on him for the sake of shitting on him. The team wins, it's the players. The team loses, it's Torts. That is fucking silly. Like, are you kidding me? It's a combined effort, but you got to give the man credit. How's Morgan Frost been since his little sitting and shit? He's been pretty good, I think. I think he's figured some things out. Sure, there's mistakes here and there, as there are with every player, but he figured that out, didn't he? He sure as hell did. Forrester has 20 goals as a rookie. I mean, Tippett could hit 30. Konechny's at 30. And I'm sorry, but, like, the defense has spun around. Risto, when he was here, was better. Walker got you a friggin' first for how well he played. I mean, Sealer just signed a 4-year extension. They can't wait for him to get back. When's the last time you heard, well, can't wait for Sealer to get back. We need him. Like, this is how the team is completely changed around, and people are going to shit on the team. They could lose out, and the season is still a success in my eyes. Sure, do I want that? Fuck no. I really want them to make playoffs. They deserve to make playoffs, but you cannot get upset with the job that this team, this front office, and this coach has done with this team this year. If you do, you're jaded and you have an agenda. I'm sorry, but that's how I feel. He's not perfect. Nobody is. Never met somebody who was. But picking up every little line he does and shitting on him is absolutely silly.
You know what? And that was an epic rant, Jack. Well done.
Thank you.
By you. You know what makes me laugh is it's some of the guys that claim to be the smartest, you know, out there, are the ones that will, you know, pick Torts apart. And, you know, before I get to that, John Tortorella's a smart man, not just a hockey coach. This is a guy who has, in my opinion, evolved, right? You can call him a dinosaur. You can call him all these things that you want. They're just not true anymore. You know, this is a guy who has looked in the mirror and has decided to change. You know, It's impossible, I think, to change yourself 100%, especially if you kind of like those parts of yourself. But he's adjusted to the way he talks to younger players, to the way that he used to. Do you know what I mean? And he recognizes he needs to change if he wants to stay in the league. But something that kind of makes me laugh was there was something that he said in his press conference the other day. And one of the things that this particular person chose to take out was just make the players better at hockey. How about that? And it's the same account that pumps Morgan Frost nonstop. So I'm like, dude, how are you missing this? Like like you said it, Jack, like Morgan Frost the last 3 months now has been a totally different player than we've ever seen him be. Yeah. Maybe he's always had the tools, but have you ever seen him play the way he's been now? Even last year, you know, sure, he somehow put up the points, you know, he scored 8 points against Phoenix or something like that. But now we're seeing it pretty consistently over the last 3 months, you know. That's just one example. You gave a lot of other good ones. Konechny, Tippett, Forster's a 20-goal season as a rookie. So We critique him as well. Like, what the hell is he doing with overtimes? We'll touch on that in a second, because the last game they played, they also lost in overtime. What's going on with the power play, right? His power plays are historically bad. And, you know, as much as we can blame Rocky Thompson, Tortorella is still accountable for the power play. He's in charge of making sure it runs well, you know? So it's not that we like him, that we're just going to let those things go to the wayside. I think that we're pretty fair, right? If you think back 3, 4, 5 years ago, Jack, when Hackstall was here, we were dying for a coach like John Tortorella. Like, this is what this organization needed. He is the medicine that they needed for, you know, all the shit that they've done the last 10 years. They needed Torts. The organization as a whole needed Torts, right? If you want a mirror, if you want someone that's going to tell you how badly you're effing up, Tortorella has got no problem doing that. And let's be honest, if you ever want to be better at something, you need that, right? Because I think especially athletes as well, and he talked about it a couple of weeks ago, it's hard for athletes to look in the mirror and see negative. It's just hard, you know? So when you have a guy that's going to tell you, hey, you're not what you think you are, you should be open to that, because now you have an opportunity to be better. And that's what he's teaching these people, these players, right? He said it the other day. He's trying, if you don't want a coach that's going to help you be a better player and a better person, then he's the wrong coach. And he means that when he says it. I believe it anyways. They're lucky to have this guy. And, if you can't bust your ass for this guy and realize that he wants the best, not just for you, obviously the team, but he wants the best for you as a player and as a person, then you're a fool, you know? So I don't know. It does irk me sometimes, when the same way, you said, when you see some people, you know, pick out every little thing they can and twist it a little bit and, you know, completely take it out of context. Either that, or they're just fucking stupid. You know what I mean? Because I don't know how somebody can understand the things, the way that they understand some of the things he says. That's where a big part of comprehension comes in. It's take the words for what they are and don't twist them the way your mind twists them. You know, don't make them mean what you want them to mean. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And, you know, the media is supposed to do that, you know, but we know they can't help it. I understand it to a degree. You're going to get more views and conversation and whatnot by, you know, taking it and running with it. And certain people, they do say things subtly that can be taken one way or another, but not Torts. He's very matter of fact. If you want to speculate who he was talking about when he was saying certain players aren't prepared for the moment and whatnot, yeah, like, he doesn't want to throw the guy under the bus. I get it. Speculate all day, Joel Farabee. But, like, he's got it. But for the most part, it's straightforward as can be. There's no hidden meanings behind what he's saying. You know, this is who he is. He's been in the league most of some of the fans that watch our show have been alive. You know, I mean, he's been coaching since before 2004. You know, that's when they won the cup. So easily before that, like, he is who he is. If anything, he's gotten better with player to player conversations, not just being a screaming his head off. He's admitted that. Players have admitted that. Players who have come out and said that they respect and like Torts. You know, there are few and far between. There's a lot of them. But the ones who dislike him are like players who aren't very good. You know, I'm like, hey, where's the good player that came out and was like, oh, I couldn't stand Torts? Where's that guy? You know, I don't know. You know, like, couldn't tell you. And it is not a coincidence that every team he's been with, he's been relatively successful. I don't really count the 1 year in Vancouver as much. But come on, Columbus turning them around? Jesus, us? How bad were we last year? How bad were you there? How bad were we the year before that? And here we are in a playoff position, shitting on him because they might not get in at the end of the season. They're bruised, they're battered, they're young, and they might fall off. I mean, Coots hasn't played in like a year and a half. So this year, shockingly, he's tired. Like, you're doing what you can to get to the finish line. And we're going to shit on him when this whole season has been a smashing success. It just seems stupid and silly to me. Yeah, I'll be upset if they miss it. I'm not going to put it all on Torts. That's just dumb. And you can see when they play the games, when people question every decision. Now, I won't argue the overtime. However, this pass overtime, it didn't seem to me. Who would he start with in that pass overtime? It looked to me like it was some of the better players.
I think it was Lawton, Forster, and Sanheim.
Sanheim. I mean, look, is it my ideal three? No, but it's pretty close, you know, and it's somewhat responsible. So I won't hate that. And they lost with Drysdale and Frost, you know, so he tried a couple of things, did not work. Sorry, he didn't talk about it right away. Whatever. What do you think he's going to say? Do you really think Torts is afraid to answer the media's questions? Do you really believe that? Like, have you seen this guy the last how many years? Sorry, he sent Thompson out there to answer the question originally. But, like, that's why I'm not bothered by it. I do not care. He'll just say whatever the hell he wants to say. And the main thing is, he fixed it. He fixed it. That's all that matters to me. And I could understand the ideology behind it, but I'm not, it didn't work. Yeah, even if you can talk yourself into it, it didn't work. Move on. Tried it a couple of times, maybe more than we would have liked, but he already went back to, you know, changing things up. So as long as it doesn't happen again, but that's what I'm going to hang my hat on, my argument against Torts. That's just stupid. It is absolutely dumb.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with anything. I mean, I don't have an issue with anything that he's done. Here's the thing. Agree or disagree with what he says, you're getting honesty. And I think, how do I say it? It's just a breath of fresh air, Jack. Like, I don't know. You mentioned watching this team last year, 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I was struggling to watch an entire Flyers hockey game. It was like watching, I would rather watch paint dry. They sucked. They sucked on ice, literally. Like, they were tough to watch. Last year, they were better. They weren't great, but I could watch hockey again. Like, they were, like, 2-3 years ago, I was watching more West Coast games and more games around the NHL than I was the Flyers. Last year, things started to change a little bit. I wanted to see how these guys were doing, how they were growing, how they were progressing throughout the season. And this year, I'll tell the truth. I'm watching all Flyers. I don't have time to watch any other NHL games. You know, I'm invested in this team. So I think maybe people forget that fast just how unwatchable this team was 2 years ago. Just 2 years ago. You know, we're not talking 5 years ago. He's done this to this team really it was less than two seasons, because this team was good out of the gate, you know. And yeah, they're running out of steam now. Eric Johnson and Eric Zamula was a second, Igor Zamula was a second pair for a week. Yeah. You know what I mean? Ronnie Adderd and Adam Ginning, who nobody thought we were going to see this year, was a pair for at least three, four games. You know what I mean? So yeah, Cam York and Travis Sanheim are burning out. You know, unless you want to see Igor Zamula and Eric Johnson for 20 minutes, that's going to happen. He's putting the best players out on the ice, the players that are going to give them the best chance to win. See, this is what, and you did a great job, Jack. So I feel like maybe I shouldn't even be bringing this stuff up, but I like that you brought up this point. There's a reality. The Flyers were without 2/3 of their D-core, right? They traded Sean Walker. It was, a massive subtraction. They didn't get any player to fill his spot. They're playing three rookies. I'm still counting Zamula as a rookie. A 35-year-old Eric Johnson, who, you know, is a shell of what he used to be. He's holding his own, I think. But we're starting to see some leaks in his game. Carter Hart. Like, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, and like, God forbid you bring up his name even. Carter Hart is not on this team anymore. This guy was supposed to be the savior for Flyers hockey. He's just up and disappeared midway through a season. And you had no backup goalie, right? You mentioned Cal Peterson, Felix Sandstrom. They stink. Sam Ersson's playing the most he's ever played. And evidently, you know, it caught up to him. You said it, Jack. He's playing the cards he's dealt. The people that are ignoring that, are just fools, in my opinion. And they're showing you how stupid they are. Do you know what I mean? And I hate to, you know, I hate to call people stupid, but if you're ignoring all of that, you're a goddamn fool. What do you expect? What do you expect?
It's they're jaded. They have an agenda. So it's like they're purposely ignoring it because acknowledging it would hurt the agenda. And that's what torched arrangement syndrome is.
It's disingenuine. Yeah. And that's what I don't understand. Right. Like, why do you want to interact? Like these people are, it's all a facade. They want to show you how smart they are and you should follow me because look how stupid torts is. I don't understand that. It's disingenuous. It's not real. It's made up. You know what I mean? I don't get that.
All you have to do is look at where they are in the standings and where they should have been according to just about every hockey pundit, you know, at the beginning of the season, like bottom five, bottom 10, you know, and here they, for the majority of the season, they're firmly in a playoff spot. Make trade away at the deadline and are doing what they can to hold together with the injuries they have. You can say they added Drysdale, but that was a different situation, to say the least. But they're missing a lot of guys, especially on defense, which was already looking up something of a weak point. You got so many rookies in there, so many young guys in general in there, and didn't have a captain, named the captain, benched the captain, like just every goofy storyline you could go with. And I think those were some of their last wins when Coots was benched, to be honest, you know, but like, and I'm not saying he's a reason. I'm just saying like, we're trying every trick in the book here to get him in. So to be upset with the job, you want to be upset with little things here and there, be my guest. I have not liked overtime. Once it didn't work the first time, I'm like, you got to pull back. These points are too important and maybe try something down the line or something like that. But like, you know, you're giving away points at that rate. Especially when Ersan's pretty good in a penalty shot. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, in a shootout. And you're not even giving yourself a chance to get there. They're scoring within the first 30 seconds to a minute. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want to get on for that? Be my guest. You want to see people real quick, if you defend him or just say how it is that you're a torts lover. I'm like, look, I did prefer him as a coach compared to what else was out there, mainly because I didn't think this team was ready to win. So a Bruce Cassidy didn't make a whole lot of sense for a team like ours. And I believe the other name is whoever Boston's coach is now. I can't remember his name. He was
Montgomery from Dallas.
Yeah. They wanted, well, he's with a team that is ready to win and, you know, doing what they're doing. So obviously he had a different view of what he wanted to do. The one thing I didn't want was a limp noodle of a coach in here. Now, at least we can talk about these press conferences, which I really ultimately don't think mean a whole lot. I think Torts feels that way. I feel like it's become, you can get some answers on some things. I prefer Torts after practice. He's more calm. You get more like understanding the game and where his head's at. But right after a game, you know, he's an emotional guy, always has been. And you're asking him, and you have to dumb down the questions. You can't go in there guns a-blazing because you'll never be invited back, and he'll certainly never look your way. So I get that. But sometimes the questions come out stupid and just very basic. And you could see his reaction like, oh, Ersan had a rough game. It's like, yeah, no shit. Like, do you really want me to comment on that? Like, that's correct. True. Like, it's just silly. And it just... They know they're trying to light a fire, so he freaks out and they have something to write about. And I'm not shitting on all of the media, but like when I hear people shit on them, especially in the media, and how it's almost like they feel like it's unfair the way he is. And it's just like, it's tough, man. Look, I have
free content. It doesn't matter.
Right. No matter what, you have something to write about, you know, just don't get too embarrassed, you know? And for the most part, outside of him shitting on another podcast for something unrelated to, you know, how the team is playing, I don't think he's been that bad. So I'm not asking the questions, but you know, it's just so silly to me. You can see that there's people that they just don't like the guy. So they're going to go above and beyond. You really do have people who are like, he's on his way out. He should be on the hot seat. And other people are like, he's a front runner for the Jack Adams, and he very well may be. If they make the playoffs, he's at least a finalist. Like, there's no way. There's no way he's not. So that is baffling to me that he could be there, but, and this is a rebuilding team, and he stresses teaching. He stresses that, especially to the young guys who for the most part have played pretty well. And you're going to shit on the guy and say he's a bad coach, he's not right for the team and all that stuff. And the only where I agree with that is he's going to make this team overachieve, and you need those high draft picks for, you still need a franchise defenseman and center. I'll give you that. He is going to make this team overachieve because he's done that everywhere he's gone. You know, he did that. He did that here, but I see the growth in the individual players that are a part of this future. Look at Tippett. Look at Forrester. Look at Brink. I mean, you can make a case for how Zamula, I didn't even think Zamula was an NHL player, and he's been having a rough couple of games the last games, but he's been a lot better overall than I thought he'd ever be. You turn Risto's career around from where it was. He's actually a serviceable defenseman, still overpaid. Sandheim's came out where we thought can't wait to get rid of that contract. How about the offseason, what they tried to offload to get him out of here? Like, that almost went down. Like, it's complete 180 on a lot of players and a lot of young players, and we're going to shit on the team. It's just stupid. It's so jaded, and it's just a waste of time. I try not to talk about it, but it's getting to a point where, like, after every game, it's this frigging guy. Look what he said. I can't believe this. You know, sometimes the players got to play. Like, come on. You can't question every little thing that's done. The players need to win the game. Sorry, too much.
No, it's all right. So three of the Flyers' top five offensive scorers are 25 and under. Owen Tippett, Joel Farabee, and Morgan Frost. The other two are Travis Konecny, who you would expect to be leading the team in goals and assists and points. And the other one, if you had to guess who it was, Jack, who would you guess was fifth in scoring amongst Flyer forwards? It's going to surprise you. I'll give you that hint.
Frost?
No, so I'll give you the top four. It's Konecny, Tippett, Farabee, Frost. Who's number five?
Couturier?
Close.
Lloyd.
Scott Lawton, number five. I mean, it's not an astronomical number, but, you know, we've been kind of, I mean, not me, but people have been ragging on him for the kind of season that he's had. And, you know, lo and behold, he's putting up the same numbers he put up from last year, you know?
Yeah, he picked it up. I think he's a huge reason before, like, the gauntlet, why the team was still getting some wins. He was scoring some big goals, some gritty goals. Still is, you know, and he's shown his worth.
Playing close to less than 3 minutes a night compared to last season. And he's 6 points back from last season's total.
His usage is down with all the injuries they have?
For the year, I'm not sure of late, but last year he averaged 18 minutes and 17 seconds of total ice time. This year he's averaging 15 minutes and 43 seconds. So about 2.5 minutes, let's say. And he's only got 6 less points, 5 less goals. Shots are about the same. Plus minus is better than it was last year. Power play goals are down by 4, but I don't think we're really expecting Scott Lawton to put up big power play numbers, you know? So that's just a, you know, an interesting little tidbit. I don't want to harp on that too much, but so here's a comment from Lyndon that I wanted to bring up, you know, as kind of also talking about how, you know, they made signings like Hathaway and Poehling over the summer. And Poehling's only 23, 24 years old. He's worked out. This is a guy that's now, you know, instantly in the future plans. They said over the offseason last year, they wanted to backfill a little bit, you know. What's the saying that, something brings up all tides or something. You're only as good as your last line, something like that with, I forget the saying. But what they did was they raised the level of play of their third and fourth line. And now they can sprinkle in a player like Michkov when he gets here, or they can go find their 1C. You know, now they can add stars and studs. You know what I mean?
You're only as good as your weakest link?
Yeah. There you go. Thanks. so, yeah. But, I mean, that's what they did. I think they could probably still use one more guy. You know, somebody who can consistently take Delorier's spot, or, you know, unfortunately, even Cam Atkinson's spot. You know, you never know. Maybe he needs an offseason to kind of recuperate. He doesn't look like he's going to, you know, break out of whatever he's in anytime soon, unfortunately. But you know, maybe they go out and get one more of those guys, but the roster as is, you know, they can clear out a winger who, you know, maybe we hinted at earlier in the show. I think somebody even mentioned him in the comments here. They can move a winger out, you know, maybe work out a trade, find a 1C somehow, or, you know, I'm of the thought that they still need to find one more top pair D, you know, and then you sprinkle in Michkov, and this team has depth throughout the lineup, you know, already. They have more D coming up. They can backfill that third pair. Ideally, and, you know, I don't want to make this whole defensive thing here, but if they can find a guy to put with Drysdale, my ideal second pair is York, Sanheim. You have Steeler on your third pair. And then I like Risto. Sue me. I know he's expensive. I know the cap's going up and he's making $5 million, so maybe it won't look that bad. They played a lot better with him in the lineup, which is just a straight fact. If you guys want to go check Flyers wins, losses with Risto in the lineup. But I'm still penciling him in for my third pair, even at $5 million. So, you know, go find your top pair D to pair with Drysdale, maybe a stay-at-home type guy that can just eat minutes, eat up the dirty minutes in the D zone, let Drysdale do his thing. They're not very far off, you know. Somebody else also mentioned here something about a power play. Can they dig up Joey Mullen? I mean, they're at the point, Jack, where it's like, okay, they can pinpoint what they have to fix. Whereas when Torts got here, it was, this shit's a mess. You know, where do I start? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, we got to fix the power play. If we can even get the power play up to 20th in the league, as opposed to 32, we're going to be winning more games. You know, we need, ideally we need a 1C. We need another top pair D. You know, those to me are the three things that if, you know, if they improve even just slightly on the power play, they're going to win more, you know. And then the positions, they really, as hard as these positions are going to be to get, the Flyers have four first round picks. And I'm not saying trade them. I don't want to give anyone a heart attack. They have some players that maybe don't fit what they're trying to do in the future. They have assets. They have a lot of defensive assets too. Where's Emil Andre fit? You know, this is a guy I was excited for. Where is he fit? Does Cam York bump up to the top pair? And, you know, everybody kind of slides up. Sealer maybe goes to second pair. Is that where Andre gets in? I don't know. There's still some questions on the back end. Flyers have prospects that they can move. Not very many center prospects. Tuomala, where does he get in? Is he an NHL player? I'm not sure he is, to be honest with you. I don't know. Maybe there's a trade to be had. I guess my point is they have assets, right? They can do things.
There definitely needs to be some serious roster reconstruction this offseason. I think it starts at the draft. Getting way ahead of ourselves here, but like there really needs to be something that goes down. They have too many wingers. It doesn't make sense, especially if they're bringing back connecting, which they probably will and they probably should. How are you going to have with Michkov coming? How are you going to have all these wingers, other wingers coming up? You need center, you need D. How is there not some kind of blockbuster trade or something in the, I don't want to say in the works, but in the cards? There has to be. And if it doesn't happen this offseason, I won't, you know, run for the hills, but like something's got to give soon. It makes too much sense to move on from some of these assets. You just know where your holes are, you know where your strengths are and where you could deal from and what you have coming. And it's pretty cut and dry, if you ask me, what they need to do, who they need to move on from. And, you know, I don't want to freak out from a couple of bad weeks, but it might not even just be the bad weeks. It might just be you need to move out something you have abundance of for something you don't have.
Yeah. And it's really that simple, you know. Speaking of something that they didn't have that they now sort of have an abundance of, Jack, let's get back positive a little bit here. We mentioned the Russians are here, at least two of them. And Ivan Fedotov, who I think around this time last week, if not earlier, what's his team? St. Petersburg or Moscow? Which one is it?
I get confused.
I thought it was Scott.
The other one.
But so they terminated his contract or at least that's what came out in the media, right? Believe whatever you want to believe. So they terminated his contract one day. Briere was asked later that day, hey, what's going on with this? And he said, you know, he can't give details. He's not, you know, he can't say anything. The very next morning, the Flyers announced they have a introductory press conference for Ivan Fedotov, who had to have been in the States before, long before that. So this is something that I like. This all happened. This happened days, if not weeks, leading up. This didn't happen overnight. Briere knew exactly what was going on. You know what I mean? The fact that he couldn't say anything leads me to believe that they didn't exactly go to, you know, Fedotov's KHL team and say, hey, we're going to bring him over. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not that they did anything wrong, because I believe that, you know, they did everything by the book. You know, Fedotov's their player. How they got him here, I guess, is nobody's business, but he's here, you know, and 6'7". I think he's tied for the tallest goalie in NHL history, Ben Bishop. And there's a couple other guys. Bishop's the only guy that I can remember off the top of my head. But yeah, he looks happy to be here and got in a game. I think he backed up in the first one, didn't see game action, ended up getting in the game against the Islanders. And this guy is huge. Like, goes down to his knees. His shoulders are still over the crossbar. You know, when he's standing in goal, he takes up the entire net. He ended up giving up two goals. I think it was on 21 shots. And, you know, if you listen to that press conference, you heard Torts, he was the only guy that showed up in that second period. But, Jack, can you believe that, like, we were at a point before the season started, we didn't even want to talk about this guy anymore. We're like, he's not coming. We don't want to talk about it anymore. It's something new every week. Let's just move on. Then, you know, obviously 6 months go by in the season and he's here. You know, like, what were your thoughts when you heard this?
Well, one, necessity, because we had brought up, I'm like, why, if they're having these goaltending issues, you got Antti Raanta, who's for free, you can have him and you don't get him. Well, this is probably why. Maybe they expected him to come over a little bit sooner than they got him over, or ultimately they knew they needed room for him. And that's why. But it was asked earlier in our comments. I was looking for it, but I don't know how to scroll. was Fedotov selected with, you know, being the Flyers' future goalie, and he was a 7th round pick. So it was a total lottery ticket. You know, you figure he's probably, you're getting him later in the draft than you should because of the whole Russian factor, but still it's a goalie, either voodoo, and he's super late. So much like I was, and it was mainly me, Jim, in the offseason, it's like, look, I'm so tired of hearing this guy, because what's he going to be? And there's still a little bit to that. However, it's nice that he's here. He's 27 years old. He's already playing in the NHL. He's already played, I should say, and we're going to see more of him. You know, so we need all the help we can get with everything that's happened to Hart. Ursa needs a break. But, like, we're still probably looking for our goalie of the future. We think we know what we have, but do we really? They've stocked up. I want to see everybody now. So before I was like, get him out of here. I don't care. I hope I don't, you know, the Russian government to completely screw with the kid. But it didn't matter to me. He was a 7th rounder that we were never going to see, it felt like. And when we did, he was going to be like almost 30. Well, things have changed big time since the summer, and I'm glad he's here. I love his size, and I'm pretty sure if he's already playing in the NHL, can just take that time to ease in and whatnot. He's your backup next, going into next year. I don't think they need to go get somebody, you know, like I thought they would. You know, he's your guy. I don't really care what happens with Sandstrom. You're just waiting out Peterson. I don't think you need to buy him out, but we'll see what they do. You could probably roll with those guys and maybe have somebody in the AHL like a Sandstrom, hopefully somebody else that you can call up. Oh, Kolosov. That's perfect. When he comes over, he's your guy there. So you'll have, you know, guys that you can rotate in and out of goal that you should be able to count on. I understand the two are technically rookies. But it's a lot better than you were looking at this year. And I think that's why. And I was very satisfied with the game he had, being thrown into one hell of a situation. I mean, that's ballsy on Torts' spot, but he probably felt like he was out of options. And Fedotov to go in there and just not shit the bed. Good on him. And I hope he play. I can't wait to see him play again. I really can't. So I want to see him start the game normal, like just the normal sissity of it, and get broken in and see what we got.
Do you start them on Friday, Jack, against the Sabres in the first game of the back-to-back?
I mean, I would. I don't think it's a, you know, big deal who you start because it's a back-to-back, but I think you ride the Fedotov train. He played well in the two periods. He was there. Get him to start the game, you know, warm-ups, the whole nine, see how that goes. And every day Ersson gets matters at this point. So he should have went to sleep the second he got pulled, and I want him to wake up after the game on Friday. Like, he just needs all the rest he can get. Does it really matter? No, I guess not. But if you ask me, I'm going Fedotov, and we'll have Ersson next, and then we'll evaluate from there. I'm not saying anybody lost their job or anything, but there's six games left. It is crunch time. So play it by ear.
You sold me. I was going to say start Ersson and give Fedotov the second game on Saturday. This way you have Ersson taking off Saturday, Sunday, Monday, give him the start Tuesday. But I mean, you know, both goalies will now have been off since Monday. So they'll have had Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 3 days. If you give Fedotov Friday against Buffalo, that's 4 days for Ersson. Then he gets Saturday. Now he gets Sunday, Monday. That's two more. I think you swayed me. I think, Jack, I think I would go Fedotov against Buffalo. And, you know, I'm not saying that, Columbus is, you know, a cream puff matchup by any means. I think they gave the Islanders a tough time tonight. But I would give Ersson Columbus on Saturday. You know, you have two strong goalies going up against two teams that you should beat. You know, the Flyers should be pretty rested heading into Buffalo Friday. Who, you know, Buffalo's, I don't want to call them a good team. They're a fun team. They can put up a lot of goals on you quick, you know, but they also give up a lot of goals. So Flyers are going to have to come out and bring their A game Friday night. It's huge 2 points. Maybe Fedotov in goal will give them that extra boost, you know. And then once, let's say they get to 2 points, you head into Saturday. Hey, job's halfway done. Let's finish strong for Ersson now and take 4 points out of the weekend. You swayed me, Jack. Start Fedotov Friday. I'm good with that. You know?
Yeah. See what happens. See what we got.
Yeah. All right. So the other goalie that came over, Kolesov. Alexei Kolesov had an outstanding year in the KHL. Came over, I think, a little bit later on in the week last week, or it was earlier this week. Either way, he's reported to Lehigh Valley. I don't believe he's gotten into a game yet. Now, there's no way he's gotten into a game. We would have definitely known about that by now.
Yes.
But he is in Lehigh. We do know that. Has not gotten into a game yet. This season with Dynamo Minsk, he had a 2.39 goals against average and a minuscule 0.907 save percentage that shot up to 0.925 in the playoffs this season. So, you know, this guy is supposed to be better than Fedotov. He was a third round pick in 2021. Flyers obviously haven't wasted any time bringing him over. He's 22 years old. They signed him to an ELC last year, kind of during the time all this stuff with Fedotov was going on, when they wouldn't honor the Flyers' contract, they made sure to lock up Kolesov to a 3-year ELC. So he's here now. He's in Lehigh. Obviously, you guys will be the first to know when he gets in a game. If you're on Twitter, if you listen to the show or follow us, whatever, you know, you'll find out, and we'll talk about it. Let's move on a little bit here now, Jack. So we mentioned earlier the Flyers got Jamie Drysdale back. And while that's a huge boost, to me he looked rusty. And that was to be expected. He was basically turnstiled on one of the Islander goals here. I think it was the second one that gave him the 2-1 lead. Not a play that he usually makes. He was just completely beat. Whoever, I think it was Horvat, skated right by him. And he turned the wrong direction. It wasn't a breakaway, but it was basically one-on-one with Ersson. So, you know, we want to blame the goalie there. That was actually, you know, Drysdale could have done anything other than what he did to cut that play off. So there's definitely some rust. If you want to talk about the overtime, and I like that we're 55 minutes in here, Jack, And we didn't bring up the overtime gaffe at all, you know, because it sucks. It's something that could have happened at any point in the game, just so happened to happen in the overtime in a game where the Flyers needed the extra point. They gave up a point to a team that's now tied with them for third in the Metro, in the Islanders. And it was an unfortunate spot. Drysdale was the one that made the pass, right? And it hits Frost right on the stick. He biffs it. It's that simple. You know, watching it live, I thought, I'll just tell you guys the truth. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat. Watching it live, it's, what is Frost doing with that? What is he doing? Like, the pass is right there. You could have done anything other than what he did. And bang, just like that, the Islanders score. Drysdale and Frost can't intercept the pass from 500-year-old Kyle Palmieri and puts the puck right on, I think it was Brock Nelson's stick who ended the game. But, you know, afterwards, I'm like, okay, why is Drysdale making that pass? You know, where he did, right? He could have, and this is an if. He could have done anything with that. Why did he do that, right? But none of that matters if Frost just accepts the pass. When I watched it originally, it kind of looked like Frost was staring off, like seeing what was in front of him. And then when the puck was coming to him, he was a little bit handcuffed. And because he tried to play it on his backhand, I remember that. The puck was in front of him, so it wasn't in his skates, right? It's just pretty flat out, you know, that he should have accepted the pass cleanly. The whole thing would have, in my opinion, because there are people out there, you know, that want to say it wouldn't have been, but it would have been a 2-on-1. That was the point of the pass. Frost accepts that with speed, blows right by Brock Nelson. It's a 2-on-1 the other way. Flyers had a forward in the neutral zone somewhere. So that was the point of the pass. Frost biffed it, and, you know, that's all she wrote. Jack, your opinions on what happened, and then obviously Frost came out and gave a statement. I know you want to touch on that.
Yeah, I mean, was it the greatest pass in the world? No, but come on, man, that was on Frost. It hit his stick. The puck freaking hit his stick, for God's sake. It's like a receiver that, like, goes to catch the ball out of the backfield and looks ahead and drops it. The wide open pass. Like, it just, it happens. It's a shame it happened in overtime. We're not in overtime if it's not for Frost, but it was on Frost. It's as clear as day. But my favorite part about that was the statement that he put out, essentially, see if I can get it for you exactly. I want to, you know, put words in his mouth that aren't there, get myself canceled for no reason. Where are you? Come on.
I think it was yesterday he said it too, right?
Yeah.
A lot of accountability flying around yesterday.
This is according to Charlie O'Connor. Frost on his turnover in OT Monday leading to the game-winning goal. Excuse my language, or quote, excuse my language, but I know I fucked up in the overtime there. So I'll try to make it up to my teammates and the fans on the next stretch of games, end quote. Simple as day. Way to own up. I love it. I respect it. Good for you. On to the next game. As simple as that. Ain't nobody perfect. I'm sure Gretzky turned a puck over a few times. It happens. You know, it is what it is. Good for you to own up and not cry and just say, hey, I'll make it up next game. Perfect. Perfect. I love that response.
When have you ever heard something like that out of Frost?
I can't tell you the last time I heard Frost talk.
From any player. You know what I mean?
When I think of players on the Flyers that speak, it was always the captain. I've heard a lot of coots this year. That was not necessarily a good thing.
Lawton, Hathaway.
Yeah. I mean, outside of that, it's really just been Torts. I mean, realistically, I mean, a couple of goalies after a bad performance, you know, hey, yeah, it just wasn't my night. But like, really, and it's great to hear him, because players don't want to be asked that question. So it's one thing to withhold your emotions and answer the right way, you know, and he did that, and good for him. That's great. That's growth in a player and a person. And that's what Torts does. I mean, there's a direct correlation with Frost's growth and Torts being here, and whether and how bad this team needs center depth. So again, explain away why you don't like the guy. I'm all ears.
Man, it's almost like he says what he says he's going to do, and then automatically you see it happen. right? It's like Frost didn't just come out of nowhere and start, you know, talking like this. Like, you're seeing Torts's, I don't want to call it magic, but you're seeing his work in real time. Like, this is something that I, like, we talk about it a lot, Jack. Like, I think we always kind of focus on the goal. And obviously the goal is to make the playoffs and the Stanley Cup, but if we're in the moment, you know, we're watching the growth of some of these players, not just hockey wise, but, you know, people wise, you know, to come out and, you know, I always got the impression that Frost didn't really like talking to the media. He's not a, you know, a big kind of talker guy, at least not with the media. Like, we're like, remember when we had Isaac Ratcliffe on a while back, like Frosty was always kind of just playing his video games, you know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Well, now he's coming out and still young. He's still a kid, by, I mean, 23, 24 years old. To me, you're on the, you know, you're on the fence of being a kid. Like, you're growing up, you're an adult basically. But to come out and, you know, say, hey, that was on me. That wasn't Drysdale, you know, even if he, in his mind, he thought it was, he made a point to come out and say, hey, I'm better than that. I take responsibility. You can blame me for that loss. And, you know, I'm going to be better going forward. It's, you said it, Jack. It's that simple, you know,
it's and growth.
And he looked like he meant it too. It wasn't just lip service. You know what I mean?
I mean, people,
it's refreshing, dude.
People who take accountability of themselves talk like that.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking for. It ain't that hard. I don't need some heartfelt speech. I don't need you to run laps or skate laps like the death skate of the 80s. Just, that's it. Acknowledgement. I'll do better. Move on. The end.
Yeah, that's simple. And that's what we want. We want honesty, accountability. That's it. We want people to be genuine, authentic, you know, and we've said it in the past when the Flyers organization was crap. You know, if you're crap at the top, that's going to trickle down and you're going to see it with your players. Like, okay, maybe people aren't going to like this one. And I know a lot of people like Jake Voracek, but what he was doing out in the media, he was doing it because he thought he could. You know, he was getting away with that because he could. You know, I know a lot of people liked it. I don't personally. I think it's disrespectful. You know, if you don't like what somebody's writing, do something about it. You know what I mean?
You don't like the narrative, change the narrative.
Change the narrative. He's, you know, so to, you know, to have some guy on a video camera, like this was, that didn't happen in person when he called Sealski a weasel. It happened while they were on like the video chats. What were they doing?
It was for COVID.
The COVID stuff.
Yeah.
Couldn't even say it to his face. Do you know what I mean? Like, to me, there's such a drastic difference between doing what Voracek did there and doing what Frost did. Like, that to me is a perfect example of the difference in the locker room and the difference in the type of people and players that they have now, people at the top. You know what I mean? Like, sure, if you're crap at the top, crap trickles down. If you're good, if you're gold at the top, the gold's going to trickle down to the players too. And now you're hearing the players talk about accountability and being responsible. That's what we've wanted here. That's what we've missed. A guy like Morgan Frost is talking about it. Come on.
It was the inmates running the asylum versus a organization that's transparent and demands accountability. And some players who are going to be here moving forward, showing that they can be held accountable and own up to it. And again, like I said, it doesn't need to be something that lingers. It's done. It's over with. On to the next game.
It's the Tortorella effect.
Yeah. And Voracek would be a butthurt guy. I'm telling you, he would, everything bothered him. All the talent in the world. But I'm so glad we're not with that era anymore, because I got tired of the excuses, of the laziness, of the showing up for a paycheck and not much else. Like, I'm so glad that is behind us. And when you have people at the top that really don't seem to give a shit, can't even spell somebody's name right, who passed away from your organization, forget Ed Schneider's birthday and everything else they friggin' did, you know, and now you have these guys now who are just, it's night and day difference. And it shows, trickles down, like you said, all the way to the locker room. A guy like Morgan Frost, who's had some tough goings of it and went through some adversity, to see him come out this way is fantastic because he went through some shit and now he's playing well, a lot better. He's showing some skill. He's showing some confidence and now he's showing accountability. Well, sky's the limit, baby.
Yeah. Well said, Jack. I saw a comment on Twitter that, and you know, people like to get excited, but they go, you know, oh, Morgan Frost sounds like a captain. And it's like, oh, well, he didn't sound like a captain 2 years ago or 3 years ago or even last year. You know, where does that come from? You know, he didn't just wake up one day and just go, I need to be more accountable. Someone's in his ear. Someone's telling him, hey, you need to grow up. You need to be a man. Be responsible for what you do. You know, own up. And this is the easiest city, town to do that in. You know, because like if you stink and you come out and say, hey, I know I stink. I need to be better. This city's not tough. They're really not. As tough as I think, you know, the facade is, it's a very, how do I say it? Like they'll love you for the stupidest stuff. You saw with Alec Boehm,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like if you're just honest, if you just acknowledge, hey, you know, I haven't been earning my money. I got to be better and I will be better. Boom. Instantly fall in love with you. It's a very easy city to get to fall in love with you.
And it doesn't matter who you are. Garrett Stubbs is the backup frigging catcher and he's beloved. You know, like it really does not take. It's so simple. And I get it. A lot of these guys are still young, but that's why I think Torch for these young guys is a pretty good coach. I mean, it's he'll be tough when you need to be tough. Tough love is probably his number one, you know, asset from the utility belt, but it works. At least it's shown for these young kids. It's worked. It's so far it's worked in Frost. And you know, it would be fun. It's not as good as a line as I hate this place, but I don't know if there's going to be a shirt of, you know, maybe there will be. I fucked up. What do you say? I can't remember what the exact quote was.
I would love it if he would bring up the toilet seat again or something.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, he handled that pretty well.
We ripped that thing out.
The toilet seat fucked up. Yeah, I'll be the toilet seat be up next game. Something stupid like that.
Yeah.
But you know what? The point is he's shown more character than I knew he had. I'm not saying he didn't have it. I just didn't see it. You know, and that's great. That's exactly what you want to hear from your players. And it's a good thing. At the end of the day, it's a very good thing.
It's true. It's very true. Yep. So, I mean, why don't we end it? Why don't we end the show on a positive note there? We're an hour and 8 minutes in. Exactly. So, Jack, was there anything that we missed that you wanted to touch on here? I know Eric wanted to talk a little bit more about Fedotov, but we can always talk about that next week. Maybe we'll see more of him. We'll have a little bit more to talk about.
Well, maybe he'll get the empty netter on Friday. Just Coots sprained shoulders, not serious as we thought it was. So we'll see how long he's out. It's really all I can think of. You know, they got to win. You know, Friday and Saturday is going to be huge. They got to get 3 or 4 points at the absolute least. They no longer are in control of their own destiny because the Capitals have games in hand, big loss tonight. But there's a lot of teams nipping at their heels and very few games left. They have to, I don't want to say win out, but they got to get as many points as possible in these 6 games. You got 12 remaining points to grab. You have other teams that have more opportunity to pass you. Can't fuck around. Got to win. Got to get these points.
Yep. I mean, 3 coming up against non-playoff teams. You know, you got Montreal Tuesday revenge game, but after these 3 games, like they need to win these 3 games. They need the 6 points because then you're looking at New York, New Jersey, and Washington. You know New Jersey's going to try to, you know, play spoiler there. So, yeah, they need 6 points from these 3 games. It's, you know, they can't dilly-dally and say we need 4 out of 6 or 5 out of 6. These are 3 non-playoff teams. If the Flyers truly are a playoff team, they need to win all 3. You know, they didn't do themselves any favors leading up to this part of the season. So unfortunately, they got to win out.
Just take care of business. As simple as that.
That's it. All right, boys and girls, we're going to wrap up. I want to thank everybody who hung out in the chat. I know we switched up the days on you this week. We switched up the time. We'll be back next week, Wednesday, I assume, same time. Generally, we start recording 7:38. So I want to thank you guys, as always, for sticking with us. A lot of familiar names in the comments, which means a lot to us. You know, we can change the night on you guys, and you guys came to hang out. So you guys make the show fun. You make it what it is. We love you guys for hanging out. So we're going to wrap up. One last time, give us a subscribe and a follow. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Set alerts for weekly shows and favorite hoo.be/hockey. Head over to hwhockey.net. If you guys are interested in any merch, we have TDS merch, Torts Derangement Syndrome merch up on bonfire.com. We have some other stuff on there too. It's not coming to mind. But if you guys see anything you like on there, go ahead and buy something. You know, support the show. We appreciate you guys. It'd be cool if we're at a game or something and we see a Torts Derangement Syndrome t-shirt walking around. That'd be cool. But as always, guys, thanks for hanging out. Hopefully we're talking about some big wins next week. We're going to wrap up. Let's go Flyers.
Get them, baby.